to praise the Lord. I haven't seen this many people in the sanctuary for a long time, and I really want to praise the Lord. Any amen? Amen. Seriously, look, this is wonderful. The message that I'm delivering today is the beginning of Jesus' farewell discourse. That alone, I think, you know, kind of explain how important this is. And obviously, it centers around this new commandment I give you. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, love one another. Now, it's really not a new command because Christianity all along was about loving. Did you know that? It is all about loving. You know, someone came to Jesus and asked, what is the greatest commandment? Remember what Jesus answered? Love the Lord, your God, with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. And he didn't stop there. Second is like this, love your neighbors as yourself. And this sums up the entire Old Testament. Do you remember that? It's not a new commandment. But if you will, in the Old Testament, it is 10 commandments. And in the New Covenant and New Testament, it's just one commandment. And that one commandment covers the entire 10 commandments. Did you know that? Christianity is about all about loving. Loving God and loving the people. Particularly loving your brothers and sisters. As we jump right into this topic, I think maybe three questions rises in your heart. Okay, oh, that sounds nice. Of course, we need to be nice to one another. And okay, let's try. Is that kind of message? Is that what Jesus is saying? Of course. Oh, church should love one another and that's the point? No, I don't think that's what it is. And you will see. Okay, Jesus, his tone of voice, and his intention is much different than that. So I thought about three questions which may rise in your heart. Number one, can we love one another? Can we love one another? Is that even possible? Okay, that's the first question. And the second question is, how vital and crucial is it for the church to love one another? Okay, is it, okay, that's more loving church, that's not as loving church, that's less loving church. Is that how it works? Okay. How crucial, how vital is it to love one another? And last question is, okay, the application, of course, how do we love now? I'm talking about in context of local church and in context of like in 21st century, June 28th, I can't believe almost half of the year is gone in 2020. But how do we love now? Those are the three questions I want to deal with eventually after explaining the text today. And as I explained, this section, verse 31 through 35, is the beginning of his last sermon. I mean, obviously, Jesus's every sermon is important. Sermon on the Mount is the first sermon, and this is the last sermon, which is like gold mine. It really is. It's like a gold mine. And it is one message within less than 24 hours of framework. That is why I'm asking you to keep reading it, and you'll know what I mean. Okay? And 1 John, which is written about 20 years after John's gospel, John is an apostle who wrote the fourth gospel. It is different than the synoptic gospels. And it's called John's Gospel because his name was John. Johannine Gospel was written much later because he lived long and he lived almost up to second century, supposedly. And this particular gospel, written around 70, 80, 70, and what I'm trying to explain is about 20 years later, as a commentary, if you will, of this new commandment, he wrote 1 John. 1 John. If you go home and read 1 John, wow, this sounds so similar. So similar. And of course, it's the same author, same spirit author, but it's 20 years apart. What did he go through for those 20 years? This small religion of Christianity, which has risen from Palestine, small country, in about next 50 years, under the severe persecution of the Roman Empire, under the severe condition, Christianity literally, listen, explodes all over the Roman Empire. They really love God, Christians, and they really love each other. And they put their life on the line, and they really did believe Jesus may return anytime. Okay, we're going to have a communion today. You know what this is? We're going to read from 1 Corinthians, remembering his death and his return. Is that right? His death and his return. Isn't it supposed to be death and resurrection? It doesn't say. And I think when he returns, it assumes that he's alive, right? But remembering his death and resurrection. Excuse me, return. So let me just jump right in. This beginning of the sermon, last week we talked about he loved his own, and having loved from the beginning, he loved to the end. If you think about it, what do you love to the end? And second question is, what is the end of eternal God? Do you know what I mean? Eis telos. What is the end of God? So having loved, he washed the feet of the disciples. And then after Judas Iscariot, if you read chapter 13, that's kind of emphasized. Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, and it really troubled Jesus' heart. Okay. Can you imagine, have you ever been betrayed by a friend? And Jesus knew all along, and he gave him a chance until the end. How much? He actually washed his feet. Can you imagine that? In a few hours, he's going to leave, and he's going to sell him and betray him. And Jesus actually knelt down and washed the feet of the disciples. So after he left Jesus forever, when I read that, it really hit me in the spot. Judas no longer will come to Christ, ever. He left Jesus forever, and then Jesus begins his farewell discourse to his disciples. Okay, so let me just jump right in explaining. After he talks about the glory of God and glory of himself, which is always together through the cross, and which is the ultimate manifestation of glory of God, because God is revealed clearly and ultimately on the cross. But I want to jump right into verse 33 and the tone of voice. I want you to listen to the tone of voice. Little children. What's that? Little children. Technia. It's a expression, a parent speaking to a little child. Okay? My endeared child. Little children. So Jesus speaks in that kind of tone. In a little bit, I'll be with you, and you're going to seek me. I'm leaving, and you're going to seek after me. Do you see his heart? He's leaving behind his children, and he's leaving for good. And little children, in a little bit, I'll be with you, and you will seek me, but you're not going to find me. You're not going to find me. Just as I told the Jews, I'm going to tell you where I'm going. You won't be able to follow me now. Do you hear the kind of context, kind of heart? And then he goes, listen carefully, little children. New commandment I give you. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, love one another. Why is this a new commandment? Because it is about loving God, but it is completely different command because, number one, I think the object of love is different. In the Old Testament, love the Lord your God, and then second is like it, love your neighbors, your Israelites, neighbors, right? But in the New Testament, it's not the neighbors. Love one another, referring to his disciples, church. That's different. Secondly, I think the standard of love is different. In the Old Testament, you know, love your neighbors as yourself. We love to take care of ourselves. During the pandemic, you probably noticed it. How many times do you wash your hands? How long? Sometimes I was surprised. Oh man, I gotta wash my hand. You know what I mean? We take care of ourselves and we love ourselves, and that's instinctive, that's natural, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. But not in the new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. That's not natural love. That's supernatural love. Very, very different source. But I think the main difference is this. In the Old Testament, it was a command. Love one another. Love your neighbors as yourself. You do it. But the problem with the Old Testament and human being is we can't do it. We cannot even obey one command, let alone ten commandments. In fact, we study Romans, realize we don't want to obey it. We can and we don't want to. That's our nature. That's what the law is supposed to do, so that you will see the impossibility of saving yourself, obeying any of the commands, so that you will look to Christ, isn't it? But the new covenant is very, very different, because it's not love your neighbors as yourself, but love one another as I have already loved you and loving you. The source is different. The power is different. Okay? So, little children, in a little bit I'm leaving. You're going to seek me, but you won't be able to find me. And listen carefully. New commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. Can I just explain something? How did Jesus love us? Okay, I mean, that'll take like weeks and months to explain. But can we think about two things? Number one, he just washed the feet of the disciples, having loved his own to the end, and he showed and demonstrated by actually doing this servant thing just right before his death, and he demonstrated his love by his humble serving. But ultimately, we learned last week that is pointing toward to the reality, and the washing of the feet is just a shadow of Jesus' ultimate serving of the cross, isn't it? So how did Jesus love us? Through the washing of the feet and through the washing of the cross. Can we think about that? I mean, you know, we just say, love one another as I loved you. And you say, oh, yeah, I know. I got to try. Is that how it works? No. Can we love one another? And I'm not sure. I'm going to have to try. I'm kind of busy, though. I got to get into this graduate school, and I'm getting married. I'm buying this. Is that how it works? How vital? What's the significance of this command? Can I remind you, commandment is command. It's not a suggestion. Ten commandment is command. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Christ's word is a command of God for your salvation. Remember the message that he preached when Jesus came, when he first came? Repent. Repent and believe in the gospel, for the kingdom is near. Does that sound like a suggestion to you? Repent. Repent and believe in the gospel, for the kingdom is near. This is the King of Kings speaking, giving you an opportunity. It's a command, a Ten Commandment, loving one another, right? Love one another as I loved you. So how did Jesus loved us? It was humble serving, isn't it? You know, we will never love anyone unless we are humbled. Unless we are humbled. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equal with God, but he emptied himself. He humbled himself already, right? And he came as a servant. And he humbled himself to death. Death on a cross. Even death on a cross. So we learn humble serving. And I think the first thing that needs to take place is you need to come and get to the feet if you're going to serve anyone. I know it sounds so obvious, but do you notice Jesus was sent and he came? If you notice in the Bible, one of the most important imperative in the Bible is go, go, go. Moses, go. Joshua, go. Disciples, you go. You know why? Because we don't go. We just think about it. We just think, oh yeah, I gotta love Kevin. Yeah. He's in trouble. Let me call her, but you never get to it. Let me get him. Call him. But you never get to it. You know what I mean? It's going. But let me tell you something. Unless the love of God moves, you will never go. So going, humbling, and washing. Okay? So I want to just leave it at that. And I want to go to those three questions that I raised in the beginning. Okay? Can we love each other? Can you possibly love your church members, your brothers and sisters? Okay? How did Jesus love us? In John chapter 15, he explained it like this. John chapter 15 is the next chapter. And this is a very famous chapter. I am the vine, you are the branches. Wait a minute, isn't Jesus leaving? But he's teaching, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you mano in me, if you remember the word, if you abide in me, right, you are my disciples. And get to verse 12, and this is what he says. He repeats the commandment, new commandment. This is the commandment. And he goes, love one another as I have loved you. Same thing. Then he talks about the greatest love. Verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. I know Jesus is talking about himself, but he's explaining the greatest love is one giving his life for someone else. Sacrificial love. We talked about phileo. We talked about agape. We talked about eros. And we talked about parent love. There's a different types of love. But the greatest love, Jesus, God is saying, is when you give your life for someone else. Now, I have trouble really swallowing this verse for many, many years because, yeah, that's the greatest love, but how can he possibly call me a friend? A friend. And not only like equal, in my mind, friends are kind of like peers and equal. Equal interest, equal status, equal kind of something. But it just doesn't make sense. Do you mean to say Jesus is my friend? And you know what? That's exactly what he's saying. The greatest love, love that is possible, is a sacrificial love of a friend dying for a friend. But the difference is the person who's dying is Son of God, and the person whom he's dying for is a wretch like me. Now, do you see the vast gulp being developed? Does he mean it when he said, I am his friend? Yes, he does. And he explains it. Servant doesn't know the master's business, but the friends do. And I have told you everything that Father has told me. You know why we could love one another? Why is it important that for us to love another? Because Christ has already shown his business to us. What is his business? Now, he's about to leave, and there is only one mediator between God and his disciples. Remember? That's the kind of like trajectory of this four chapters. There is only one mediator between God and disciples, only Jesus. Now he's about to leave, and there is only one mediator between the world who doesn't know Christ and Christ, and that's his disciples and the church. So what we do really matters. And he's leaving, and he's kind of like letting us know, this is my business, and you know my business. That's why I want you to love one another. Do you hear what Christ is saying? What is the business of Jesus? I mean, there are many ways to say it, but I think this is probably the one sure way of saying Jesus' business. When the Son of Man is lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. His business is through his death and serving. He drew all men to himself, to salvation. And we know his business. How are we going to display his business when we love one another? That's why verse 35 says, by this, when we love one another, all men will know, NIV translation, the world may know that you are my disciples. Wait a minute. When the world sees that we are his disciples, what does that mean? The world will see Christ. What does that mean? World will see Christ's love. The world will see Christ's salvation. The world will see Christ is the truth. How? When we love one another. That's the text today. That's the text. So, can we love one another? Yeah, I gotta try. It's not that at all. What does Scripture say about can we love one another? John chapter 17, there are many texts we could use, but I was reading through, John chapter 13 through 17, and John chapter 17 is Jesus' great high priest prayer. You know that. This is an incredible, rich, and Trinitarian language. And he prays his last prayer right before his death. And we will get to it in a couple months, Lord willing. And it is subdivided into three divisions. Number one, he prays for the glory of God, glorify. And the second part is he prays for the disciples, sanctify. Sanctify them by the truth, and your word is the truth. And then the third section, listen, he prays for us. Really? He prays for those believers who will believe because of the ministry of the disciples. We're talking about church. That's how we are sitting here and worshiping the living Lord. And it is about unity and love. So it's about glorify, sanctify, and unify. So the last section, he's praying for the church. And he's praying for us. Listen, this is what he says at the end, the very end of the prayer. Verse 26, this is Jesus praying to God. I made known to the church, to them, your name. That's what Jesus is doing. How did you come to faith? Because Christ made God known to us, right? I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known. I'll continue to make it known. In other words, he's going to continue to make God known to us so that the love with which you, God, have loved me will be in them. What is that? Agape, eternal. God's love. Maybe in who? In his church, in Christians. And he doesn't stop there. And I, Christ, will be in them. Did you get it? Do you get it, brothers? Can we love one another? Christ and the scripture is saying, agape will be in us. The love of God is in us. Not only that, Christ is in us. That's big. But Bible doesn't even stop there. There is more. Can you believe that? There is more. If you go to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And for the time's sake, we're not going to explain the context. And he's talking about the hope. And this is what Paul wrote. And in Romans 5:5, it is the Holy Spirit, who is God, will be pouring God's love into the hearts of his people. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Christians, if you are a Christian, Christ's love, Christ is in you, Holy Spirit is in you, and agape and God is in you. That's triune God. Do we have the source to love one another? Absolutely, absolutely. Can I explain it this way? Christianity is always Christ first. Love one another as just as I loved you. In other words, we don't have any source or any desire to love one another unless God poured his love upon your heart. Unless. And it is always God to his people. Always the vertical waterfall. I always like to compare it with a waterfall. I love waterfall. Waterfall comes down to your heart, great love, and it's going to dry up in your heart. It's impossible, people. When the waterfall comes down, just as I loved you, and there's going to be a river. It's always horizontal. I hope you get this message. Can we love one another? Absolutely, Scripture says. Absolutely. In fact, that's what Christ is telling his disciples. That's my strategy, so that the world, who have no clue what the truth is, who have no clue what the hope is, and they are living in fear. Do you feel like people are living in confusion and fear these days? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. It is pretty loud and clear right now. People always live in fear and confusion without the truth and without Christ. I really do believe. But right now, it's pretty loud and clear, isn't it? People are just all over the places. Where do I come from? Where am I going? What's the purpose of life? What is right and wrong? People have no clue, right? But church, we have a message to tell. And how do you do that? When we love one another. Okay, when we love one another. Second question, how crucial is it for the church and Christian to love one another? How important is it? Oh, let's try. Is that what it is? Let me just read just a couple of verses from 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I wish we could read the entire chapter. Go home and read it, please. And this little title of this section is God is Love. Let me read verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and know God. And he repeats himself. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is Apostle John 20 years after John's gospel, people, after seeing history unfolding. Church exploding, people laying down their lives for the cause of Christ and for others. There are so many stories of the first church. The Christians would go to garbage dump and collect cripples and female babies, because in Roman Empire they just throw them away, and they will collect them and love them. There's so many things we could talk about. And they would lay down their life for one another. And after seeing all that, Apostle John is saying, beloved, let us love one another, for the love is from God. And whoever loves has been born again of God, and they know God. And then he repeats, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. How important is it? How crucial is it? I think it's twofold. So many people always wonder, am I a Christian? I mean, there are different ways to answer that, but Scripture answers pretty distinctively here. If you love your brothers, there's an evidence that love of God is in you. If you don't, Bible says, you do not know God. You do not know God. Okay? But I think the crucial importance of loving one another inside the church is even more than that. Not just it gives you an evidence, proof, but I think by doing so, the world will come to Christ. It is the way of loving the world and evangelism. This week, I had several Bible studies with discipleship group, Korean Bible study, and next-gen Bible study, and a couple of people asked good questions. And I think this is really a good question. A couple of people ask me, it's not just one person, when are we going to stop talking about loving each other and start loving the world? When are we going to do that? I think that's a good question. In fact, a couple of people asked. Okay? And I would like to answer it this way. I think reading the scripture, that's the way Jesus wanted to reach the world. And my understanding is this. If you cannot love, I don't know, 50 people, 100 people here who just walked in, who is a little different than you, do you think you will love someone a couple blocks away from here and you care for them? Do you mean to say you really care for them? Does that make sense at all? Is that logical? If you cannot love and care for your church member, Christian brother, do you mean to say you really care for a person outside? I think that's number one thing. And I think this the way it works too. When you love your family who's a Christian, really with a Christian patience and love and endurance and giving, what about those people inside of your family or relatives who do not know Christ? That's the world, isn't it? Will they see Christ? Of course. Of course. Before we think about the whole world seeing Christ's love through you, perhaps the world that you're living in, your relatives, your friends, need to see Christ's love, don't you think? If you think about it that way, yes, that's a good question. Legitimate question. But I think God's plan is, God's logic is, strategy is, you love one another. Perhaps then you'll be ready to reach the world. Okay? So, it's pretty important. Can we love one another? Second question, how crucial it is to love one another. And the last question is, I think perhaps the most important question after conviction comes to your heart from the Spirit and from the Word, can we and how do we love one another now? Now. Okay? How many of you are ready to love? Can you say amen? I was afraid to ask. I'm going to ask one more time. Don't make me afraid. How many of you are ready to love your brothers and sisters? Can you say amen? Okay, pretty good. Let's talk about it. How did Christ love us? Let's just look at washing of the feet. Okay, washing of the feet. Christ came and Christ went to the feet. I think number one thing is you just need to come close. You just need to come. You just need to go. Not just thinking about it. I think we need to be obedient enough to know that we need to go. We need to be sent. If you want to love someone as Christ loved, we need to get closer to our brothers and sisters. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. I think second thing is we saw in Philippians chapter 2 and we see in John chapter 13, we saw him on the cross without humility of Christ. You will never love anyone. You know, sin by nature is very selfish. Extreme selfishness, shockingly selfish, somebody say. Sin is shockingly selfish. Okay? You see how shockingly you care about your own body, especially during the pandemic. And the Bible says, and Jesus is saying, love one another as I have loved you. We need to be humble. How is it possible that we could be humbled? I think it's the love of God. Love of God humbles us. No. Jesus said, you're my friend. That doesn't humble you. Jesus said, you know my business. That does not humble you. That humbles us. But I'm nothing. I'm a rascal. I'm such a selfish wretch. I don't care about anyone. And yet he loved me. That's the kind of love, isn't it? Agape, isn't it? I think we need to be humbled by the love of God. And the third is, if you notice, Jesus taught us to wash each other's feet. What is that? That's everyday need of a person. A person who had bathed doesn't need to take bath again because he's completely clean, but his feet needs to be cleaned every single day. He talked about that a few verses ago. Washing of the feet is the need of your brother and sister. Small need. Small need. We're not asking you to cut your limbs and give to each other. That was bad illustration. Okay. Just wash each other's feet. You know, in Matthew 25, I love this illustration. There is that when Christ returns, he's going to judge the nations. He's going to judge the nations. And basically, when the Son of Man returns, he's just going to divide the world into two categories, sheep and the goats. Sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Okay. What's the standard? What's the standard of his final judgment? It's really shocking if you read this sheep and the goats illustration. Oh, it is faith in God. Salvation by faith alone. Absolutely true. It's how much you passionately serve the Lord. No, it's not that at all. And this is the standard of his final judging of the sheep and the goats. Can you listen? Can you listen to this? This is what Jesus said. He speaks to the sheep on the right, and basically you are blessed because God has been chosen you. And this is what he says. Listen carefully. When I was hungry, you gave me food to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. Jesus is talking. When I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I was a stranger, when I was naked, you gave me something to put on, some clothes. When I was sick, you came to visit me. When I was in prison, Jesus was in prison, you came to visit me and gave me hope. And the righteous people, say, wait a minute, when did we see Jesus, you, hungry and thirsty and naked and you're a stranger? When did we see that? And Jesus says something incredible. Listen carefully. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers. Wait. Who's Jesus' brother? Christians. You did it to me. Can I just ask you, what is the standard of the final judgment and the life that you lived? And we could easily say, oh, helping the poor and helping the needy. Jesus doesn't say that. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. You know what it is? Loving Christ. And how do you validate that? Loving the people, loving the Christians, loving the brothers and sisters, loving the world. It's never a separate thing, brothers and sisters. And the second thing I think that really shines is if you notice, when someone is hungry, giving something to eat, is that so difficult? When someone is thirsty, you gave something to drink. Is that some impossible love that you could do? When someone is like sick and you go visit, is that such an incredibly difficult thing to do? No. No, if you look at this, these are menial tasks, small tasks, and need of the people. And what I see is this is the lifestyle of believers. And perhaps when there is a real need of a brother with a great need, we could all get together and help him if we continue to live like that. So what do we learn from Christ's love? Wash each other's feet. And if you want to wash someone's feet, you need to get closer to him and wash each other. Serve one another. That's how we are called to love. And simple things like that, Jesus promises that the world will know, all men will know that you are my disciples. Lastly, what can we learn from Christ's love? It should be costly. It's not like my spare time, once in a while, whenever I feel like it. I don't think that's love. I don't think that's Christ's love. It is costly. Will you give yourself? Give yourself. Give your time. Give your resource. Give your money. If you want to love someone, give your time. Give your heart. It should be costly. Love should be costly. Jesus cost his life. And don't say, I love my brothers, and, you know, it's not costly. So, can we love one another? Scripture says yes. How important is it? This is the way to reach the world. This is God's business, Jesus' business. Lastly, how do we love one another? We just talked about that. Get close to your brothers and sisters. And that's going to take great love humbling our hearts and washing each other's feet. And hopefully it is costly, costly. I want to just close. We have a communion. What would be the outcome if we love one another? What would be the outcome? Chapter 13, verse 17 says, if you do this, you will be blessed. Oh, sounds good. Okay, okay. You will be blessed. And the word blessed is makarios. Makarios. And we see that in Matthew chapter 5. That's his first sermon. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Makarios. Makarios. What does that word mean? The original meaning, the deep meaning of makarios, or blessed, is this. Would you listen to this? It's the transcendent happiness or joy of life beyond anything in this life because of his share in the salvation of the kingdom of God. I know it's a little long, but it's the joy. It's the transcendent joy that the world does not give. And Jesus is saying, if you serve one another, you're going to have makarios. And then this week, I remember when I was teaching Sunday school, and the word joy, and I wanted to use the acronym JOY. J-O-Y. Joy? Yeah. And the order is very important. How do you have joy? Jesus, others, and you. Do you remember that? Anybody remember this? Sunday school? Yeah, Jesus, others, and you. Okay, thank you. So what happens when we love one another to Jesus? Jesus will see that, wow, they are obedient to me, and they love me, and Jesus will be makarios. Jesus will be makarios. Okay, what about others? When we love one another, the world will know, the old men will know that we are his disciples, and they're going to see Jesus. So they will hear and they will see the message of Jesus, salvation of Jesus, and they're going to put their faith in Jesus. And what's going to happen to others? Makarios. Makarios. And finally, what's going to happen to the believers who love one another? Jesus said, if you do them, makarios. There's going to be joy, people. There's going to be joy. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. Those who are born of God and who know God, they will love. Let us love one another. Do you think the world is looking for a community where they could put their faith in right now? Do you think people are looking for the truth? How many of you say the world is looking for truth that put their life on right now? Can I just tell you? Can we claim truth without love? What is that? We preach truth, but we don't care about people. Does that make sense at all? No. Can we say we love people, but we don't speak the truth? What is that? We're going to have people lead to confusion. Chaos is truth in love. I think that's what Christ is teaching us. Jesus is the truth, and he's saying, love one another. Love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. And I just pray in this very special time of history right now, the more you think about it, it's a very special time as the church is coming back to the local church. My prayer is, and I want to finish on a positive note, if this many people love one another, man, we have a church. I really do believe we have a church. We have a hope to fight in this hostile world. If this many people, love one another, I think we have a good fight. Let's pray.